with that, I'll introduce my wife, Diane.
I hope this, yeah, it's working. I pulled it apart, John, so I wanted to make sure it was. I had three strong influences in my life as moms to me. One of them, her name was Louise Renaud, my own mother, and Gladys Powell. Our home as we grew up lacked a calm, quiet security. It was chaos, really. It was yelling and screaming and the insecurity of not knowing what was going to happen next or what was expected of us. My mom had no experience herself in peacefulness. So her childhood was awful, so she had no example to follow. So God gave me Mrs. Renaud. Mom Renaud was a lovely Catholic lady who lived in our neighborhood. She was the mom of 18 children of her own, and then she adopted two more. And amazingly enough, her oldest child was a very special needs child, and she still had 17 more. She was kind, she was smart, she made everyone feel welcome and loved at her home. She was calm, she was fair, she was intuitive of needs of everybody. I mean, with 18 kids, I'm surprised she noticed any extra people around, but she did. And she had time for all of us. God used her as an example in my life of what a Christian woman looked like. She was modest, she was strong, she was quiet-spoken, she was joy-filled, and she was very sweet-spirited. Fran and I lived in an apartment in her life later on in when my kids were little, and I never ever once heard her raise her voice or speak in anger or swear. She said that swearing showed your lack of vocabulary, and certainly you could find a better word. She was, to me, the epitome of a Christian woman, and I always wanted to be more like her. Maybe I should have lived there a little longer. My own mother was the oldest of seven children. She was a nurse, and she was a single mom for many years, and so a provider and a doer. She taught me survival skills, how to be resourceful. She was born during the Depression, and so she didn't waste anything. We reused and repurposed long before it was the thing to do. In the spring, we picked dandelion greens and fiddleheads, wild blueberries and raspberries and blackberries. We even ate dandelion flowers. You put them in flour and then you fry them. They were pretty good, actually. We had gardens for veggies and in the fall, plenty of apples. She taught us to enjoy simple pleasures, like days spent with a picnic at the lake or the river. Card and board games, we played them all the time at our house. But she also taught us to be a good sport and a worthy opponent. She never let us win, not once. Not even when we were like five, and we should have been. She taught me to sew and to knit and to crochet and to love music and flowers and art. She was an excellent cook, and she loved to entertain. So she taught me how to set a table properly, to have proper manners, to cook and to bake, and she never once used a box mix in her life. She also had a merciful heart. If she could, she would help anyone and everyone. She supplied food many times for families that were in need. She would take people to the doctor's appointments or to visit loved ones in the hospital, even when the hospital was Dartmouth, which was 3 hours away. And she says, nobody there is going to know where Dartmouth is, Auntie. It was 3 hours from our house. That's what counts, I guess. She taught us to give of ourselves, not just of our stuff. She always made our birthdays special. We could choose what she made for dinner. I always chose chicken cacciatore. And what kind of cake she made and what kind of ice cream we had. And when she couldn't buy us gifts, she always made us something. She taught us that we could do and be anything we worked hard enough to be. So school was important, and if we got C's, we were studying longer at night. She taught us to sing for joy, to sing for fun, to sing for God, just to sing. We would go on car rides to our grandparents' house, and it was, I don't know how much, it seemed like forever away, but it was probably only an hour or two. But we would sing all the way there and all the way back, and it would be so much fun that we'd forget that it was a long ways. She was also known for knowing just the first line of every song ever written. Just the first line. The grandkids still laughed about Grandma and her one-liners. So when she was sick with cancer, I hope I can get through this part, I found this beautiful song. I thought it would encourage her. It encouraged me when I listened to it. And I hoped that it would. And I put it into the player, and I told her that I just wanted her to listen to this beautiful song that I'd heard. I put it in the player, and she didn't miss a beat. She sang every word from the first song to the first beat to the last. She knew the song well. It was on an Anne Murray tape, and the song was Whispering Hope. My mom grew up Catholic until I was maybe 14, and then she accepted the Lord. I feel like this is echoing. Should I move it down a little? No? Okay. Till I was about 14. She started going to a small Bible church and gave her life to Jesus, and she was about 35 at the time. I was her oldest. I accepted the Lord a couple of years later, so we kind of started both growing at the same time, and we began to learn from a lady named Gladys Powell. Gladys was a woman who loved the Lord and loved his word and desired to pass that on to as many women as she could. She was a wonderful teacher. Gladys Powell taught us to be modest, and there were some issues with that in the 70s. She taught us to love and to cherish God's word, to be sure that we knew what we believed, what God's word said, and not to get drawn away from it. She taught us to be strong supporters of our husbands, never to tear them down or to belittle them, but to be submissive. And she said that being submissive was like being a bulwark under a bridge, holding him up, and to support him in all things, unless he was veering away from God, and then to gently pull him back. She encouraged us never to gossip, but especially about our husbands. There was some issues with that in our church as well. We went to a Saturday morning women's retreat at her house, and I remember there must have been 40 women in that living room. She lived in an old farmhouse, and it was a pretty good-sized living room, but it was packed tight. We were sitting on the floor at her feet and on every piece of furniture they had. She taught us about forgiveness. There were many abused and broken and hurt women there, and many who had no concept of what forgiving 70 times 7 meant, or forgiving because we were forgiven much. That didn't mean anything to them or us. She taught us from the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, forgive us our debt as we forgive those as we forgive our debtors. And then in verse 15 it says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father forgive you. Resentment and hurt ran deep, and these concepts were a lot easier said than done, and we told her so. So she taught us out of Exodus 15:23 that when we aren't able to forgive in and of ourselves, that we should ask Jesus to put his cross into our bitter waters and make them sweet. It was such a beautiful picture for me. It changed my life. I was able then to forgive my parents and to move on in my life. As a young mom and wife, Gladys Powell spoke into my life in a way that always made me feel like I was her favorite. She had so much love and compassion and interest in me. She wanted to hear about my family, my struggles, my praises. And at her funeral, I found out that every other woman in the place felt the same way. They were her favorite. She was a great mom in the Lord. So on this Mother's Day, let me encourage you, whether you are motherless or childless, or a mom of children who don't seem to care about you, whether you have been successful or not as a mother, God can use you. He's always looking for spiritual moms, for emotional supporters, for good examples to others. Be there for someone. We can love and care for others and fill a gap in their lives, just like these three moms did in my life. You can also make a difference. Happy Mother's Day to y'all.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Okay. Well, good morning. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Priscilla DeLuca, and my husband is Brian. And I would like to share with you my testimony in the light of my mother. I was most blessed to have been born into a God-fearing Christian family. Both of my parents had very strong convictions about godly living and did their best to bring me up in the Christian faith. I am the middle child, the only girl born in between two brothers, both of whom were born with severe physical and mental disabilities. In my early years, I remember my mother tenderly caring for my older brother, Michael, and at the same time teaching me to have good manners and to love Jesus. It was my mother telling me about Jesus that caused me to ask about heaven when my brother died. I was almost 5 years old then, and it was on my fifth birthday when I accepted Jesus into my heart. My mother was what you would call today as a stay-at-home mom. She was always there when I left for school and always there when I came home. And one of my greatest memories was seeing my mom having her quiet time in the morning while I was getting ready for school, and she would always have a notebook, and today you would call that a journal, where she would write down the insights she received from her studies, her Bible was well-worn and marked. My first Bible was actually one of my mom's Bibles, and I felt so proud having a grown-up Bible to use. And this is the Bible that was my mom's. It's well-worn. But I felt proud carrying it around. However, I was most excited when I got my very own Bible, and my mom created for me my very own notebook. This is my first Bible, Schofield. But she made me my very own little notebook, my journal, where I could keep my own study notes. Both of my parents did their best to train up a child in the way they should go with me. And when I was 7 years old, my younger brother was born. However, to the disappointment of my parents, Jonathan also had the same genetic disease as my older brother. But my parents did everything they could to raise him at home and to prolong his life. It was my mother's love and perseverance in raising not only me, but my severely handicapped brother that witnessed to me the love of God. She encouraged me to be the best sister that I could be to my brother. And all the while my parents were raising me and my younger brother, my mom still found time to teach Sunday school and to clean the church bathrooms every week. And yes, I had the opportunity to share in these ministries. It was because of my mother's example that I developed a passion for teaching children in a creative manner. You see, my mom, she would teach by drawing a picture of the Bible story while she taught it. And then at the end of the lesson, one of the children would get to take the picture home. Another method that she used to teach was drama. And I would get a chance to help by dressing up and playing a part of a Bible character that she thought that she may be teaching about that Sunday. Through all of this, my mother taught me how to use my talents and passions to serve the Lord. And another way she taught me how to serve was cleaning the bathrooms every week. Now, mind you, I was only 11 or 12, and I'm looking at the 11 and 12-year-olds, while working with my mom at church. We both found joy in serving the Lord together in this capacity. While trying to raise both me and my younger brother, my parents also rented out 2 rooms in our big house to individuals who were in need of helping hand. This went on for a few years, and I witnessed firsthand what it looked like to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We were able to help those who were in need. Later, during my early teenage years, my parents began to serve as church planters. And again, my mom taught Sunday school, and I helped out as well. Now, if some of you think that my life was orderly and that I was the perfect daughter, not. No. I had my share of disagreements and disobedience, but both of my parents always tried to be the godly example for me and to bring me up in light of what the scriptures say. Well, my younger brother passed away when he was 15 years old. That was in 1984. And I was already out of the house and married by then. So my mom had a brief period of time where she no longer had to be the caregiver of a disabled child and was able to serve more alongside my dad in ministry. However, that soon ended when my dad became disabled and my mom took on the role as caregiver once again and remained so up until the death of my dad in 1994. So speeding forward to 2014, my mom moved to North Carolina to live near me where I could spend time with her and care for her. And some of you may know of her and remember her as Bernice Watson because she attended Fellowship Bible Church during this time. And she may even have corrected you if you mispronounced her name. She would say, "My name is Bernice," and it rhymes with furnace. And I know that she sat beside Ms. Ruth every Sunday. Well, my mom passed away in October of 2015. And losing her on this side of heaven was a great loss to me. However, I have shared all of this with you to encourage all of the mothers and to let you know that you have a mighty impact on your children. They are watching you and learning how to live from your every move. Let your children see you when you are praying, when you are studying your Bible. Share with them what the Lord is teaching you. And even if your children may not be old enough to fully understand what you are saying, they are still learning how to cultivate a walk with Jesus. And have your children share in the church ministry in which you serve. This is where they will learn how to serve. And above all, always pray every day for your children and tell them that you are doing this. This will be a great source of comfort to them, because that was a great source of comfort to me, because my mom said, I pray for you every day while you're driving to work that you will keep safe, or this or that. And then when she died, I'm like, I don't have anybody else to pray for me. But I mean, my husband prays for me and other people. But it was that comfort knowing that my mother prayed for me every day. Today, I have my mom's Bible with all of her notes, as well as many volumes of her journals. I have them, and I just started going through them again this week, and I cherish them dearly. And maybe someday I will even get to have the opportunity to share my testimony about my dad, maybe with you on Father's Day. I don't know. But my prayer is that one day your children will also cherish the examples that you've left behind for them. Remember, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:6. Thank you.